Austin was unbelievable. I was probably his biggest cheerleader there in the third quarter. Cause you just love to see that. You know, he's been working really hard, and I just remember, like, game two, he was really hard on himself, you know, towards the end of the game. So to see him bounce back like that, and I just kept saying, I don't want to play anymore if I don't have to. And seeing him do that, it gave me a chance to rest.
Yep, man of the hour.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to Playoff Clipcast. What a W. Round two.
Wait, who are you?
I'm Chris Wilde. Who are you?
Mike the Jaguar.
Jaglin.
Okay.
We're up 2-1. We're in round two. We haven't talked to our Clipcastineers since game six.
Since the greatest thing.
Since the greatest game in Clipper history, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was.
But we'll get to that later. Let's talk right now about what we just saw. A third quarter ass-whooping by Austin Rivers.
I mean, we saw it in the Spurs series, and everyone kind of questioned it. And then he turned into a bad video game at the end of game two.
Yes, and, of this series.
Yeah, of this series.
And what I really like is Austin said Blake came up and talked to him and said, look, I turned the ball over when we were up late and cost us the W. Get over it.
Never be too high or too low. You know, Blake came up to me and he was just like, you know, I made an error just like that. You know, and he's like, or, you know, when I made it, we were up to, you know, with whatever game versus Spurs. He's like, you know, he just kept telling me, listen, you know, at that point in the game, you know, we were scrambling to get back. You know, it was the right read. I just lost footing, and it just happens, man. You know, it's part of the game, and that's why you just keep playing, you know. And even now, you know, great game, I'm just going to keep going. So it was fun, and you just learn from your stuff.
Basically, is what Blake said. Because Blake, remember, in the Spurs series, turned the ball over late, we're up two, and all of a sudden the Spurs get it back, and they win. It was game two of round one. And now Austin Rivers has a chance to cut it within one or two or something after game two of round one. And he basically loses his footing. But I like that Blake got in his teammate's ear and said, look, I did it even worse. We were up, and I cost us the game. We were playing catch-up. Don't get in your head. And then Austin said what Jamal always says, never be too high, never be too low.
And Austin's had two of these games in the playoffs. Which, well, you know, again, like, let's look
he
at
didn't
this.
Really have two of these games in the regular season.
He had a 20-point outing in the regular season.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, I know.
But no, he's still, had two
but that
in
shows,
the playoffs.
What did Reggie Bullock ever had? And that's essentially what the trade was. No, that's essentially what
no,
the trade
yes,
was.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
Reggie
again,
Bullock, I always thought, was a huge
boss. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, Austin Rivers is the second coming of Damian Lillard or Steph Curry.
Oh, or even our Darren Collison or even our Eric Bledsoe.
But again, he was a top five recruit. He was a top 10 pick in the draft.
Tell me about these. You said he had some big shot as an NCAA kid. Or
at North Carolina. Doc was actually in attendance.
I remember that.
Year.
I remember that.
Yep. And that, to win the game in Chapel Hill.
I game think winner.
And Harrison Barnes was on that team. Reggie Bullock was on that team. I might be wrong. John Henson might have been on that team. But a lot of NBA players were on that team.
Austin Rivers had a big shot to win a big game at Duke.
And he was in a bad situation. Like,
I had chills when Staples Center was chanting Austin Rivers. It reminded me of last season, game five, round one, we are one. When the whole stadium was chanting we are one, the entire stadium was chanting Austin Rivers. And Doc Rivers himself even admitted, when the whole crowd is cheering your son's name, that's pretty cool.
Hearing the fans cheer your son's name is cool.
And it was pretty damn cool.
Well, the thing that's really cool is that this team is really coming together. Like, all year we've talked about
The bench
being lackluster and the starters playing too many minutes. And listen, I agreed on that. If the starters were going to play that kind of minutes, this team probably would have been outed in the first round. But they've used their resources. They've found, I mean, tonight we had, you know, baby being baby again.
We had a big night from Spencer Hawes.
Yes.
Getting dirty, not on the stat sheet.
But that
plays.
That was a crucial time in the game.
Absolutely.
Because they caught it to 3 points, and it looked like they were going to grab us. And then we just,
and Blake's
Blake
in foul
got two
trouble.
Fouls.
Yeah.
Blake got two fouls.
And Hawes comes in, hits a wide open jump shot. He blocks Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
He strong arms a rebound.
Makes like a behind the back pass.
I mean, he was what we wanted.
Listen,
he was like,
if we could get that from Spencer Hawes every
absolutely.
Night going forward, He's a mid-level.
Doc said he told his coaches this morning he has a gut. He said, I say I have a gut feeling. Doc says I have a gut. And he said, I'm playing Hawes tonight. And Hawes came flying in with his giant hammer from Asgard.
And it's great to get him going in this series. Not like Houston is a bad team, but they're not exactly a smart team.
And we just beat a smart team.
Yes, the smartest team.
Yeah.
And, listen.
You know, that was almost like, I mean, obviously, it's the best opening act you can possibly ask for, to beat the champs, the smartest team in the modern age of NBA, to beat them in seven. You can't ask for a better opening act.
If Chris Paul didn't get hurt, that would have been the best, you know?
You know, obviously Chris Paul got hurt, right? And he misses games one and two, and we win game one. I wasn't, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, we stole one in Houston. Mm-hmm. We honestly could be up 3-0 right now.
It should be 3-0.
We're a better, smarter team.
You and I were just talking about this. I think the Clippers have won 9 of the 12 quarters, like in regards to their style.
This series.
And that game, too, was lost.
10 out of 12.
Yeah. No, 9 out of 12. They lost that first quarter in Houston in game one.
Okay.
But if you're looking at, you know, the series in hindsight, it's hero ball versus the system. When we play our system and stick to it and move the ball, we can beat them. We can dissect them.
Well, their coach, Coach Kevin McHale, a.k.a. Frankenstein's Monster, who went to Men's Warehouse, he said, and I quote, fire bad. But he also said their
Herman
team
Munster?
Was bad.
Herman Munster.
Lily! He said, Jack loves it. Their team was bad, and they've really only played good defense one half of this entire series, and that was game two, half two, and that's why they won that game. And they are clawing at a one down 1-2. I mean, we're really going to beat these guys in five.
Well, we're going to see everything thrown at the Clippers in game four.
Harden's going to go off.
Oh, yeah. This will probably be a 40-point James Harden effort. I bet the foul. Again, we haven't seen, like, a game two, we saw all those free throws,
have we ever seen Harden go off versus the Clippers, Jack?
No, but the last game in the last game in the regular season, he had a great game when they won in Staples.
So,
yeah, 35-ish.
Okay, that's Harden being Harden, but we've only seen it once.
I think one of the things that takes him off his game is he has to run around and guard JJ.
Right.
And James does not play great defense.
Dude, JJ was a monster tonight. That's Mr. First Quarter.
Well, it was fun to get going early again. I felt like I hadn't had many of those games in the playoffs, and that's something that I've done throughout my time as a Clipper. And just having Chris back out there early, kind of orchestrating things. That group, that starting five, has played so many minutes together the last 2 years. There's just such a familiarity with each other, and was able to get to my spots. DJ set some great screens and knock him down.
And he was killing him.
Oh, it was perfect. He shot
JJ
the show.
And Austin Rivers were the heroes of the game.
And even though Blake had a double-double, we both agreed that
he wasn't sharp tonight.
He was off.
He was good in the first quarter. At one point, JJ and Blake had 15 points, and every other player on both teams had 15 points. It was 15-15. At one point, it was just Blake and JJ, and then Chris Paul hit an open shot finally. So good to see Chris Paul. So good to see Austin Rivers take over that third quarter and not need to see Chris Paul. Were you nervous when Chris Paul came back and we were up 27 in the fourth quarter?
No. I mean,
you think Doc's just trying to get him back into his flow, right?
I think part of what Chris was doing tonight, too, if you looked at his stat line starting the game, he had like 5 quick assists.
Yeah.
So he is trying to. He's
starting.
Yeah. And then he started to heat up the second quarter and third quarter. He picked the spots. Chris is one of the smartest basketball players in the league, if
Absolutely. Not
the smartest.
His spot is that right corner of the free throw line.
Yep. Well,
he loves
the best mid-range jump shooter in the NBA.
Yes.
Best. I mean, he loves those elbows. He's great with those. But he got everyone involved. And, again, we don't have Kawhi Leonard or Danny Green draped all over.
I'll tell you something I don't miss is San Antonio's defense. We just scored 274 points tonight. You know how difficult it is to score over 100 versus San Antonio? You know how easy it is to score over 100 versus Houston?
And they have one of the best centers in the league.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
And
he's just a dummy, man. He's a real dummy.
I mean, wow.
Dwight Howard is a dumb person.
Laker fans, we actually agree with you.
You guys dodged a bullet.
Yeah, you really did.
And also, good on Howard getting out of there.
I mean, no state tax.
You and I were talking about this, and you and I are talking about this. Houston needs a different coach.
McHale, he's a player's coach.
Yeah, send McHale back to McHale's Navy.
Get Van Gundy off the sideline, but if I'm Jeff, I'm not leaving that job.
No, or Stan.
Or Stan.
I'm not leaving that job in Detroit.
I mean, heck, I'd rather have Scotty Brooks than
McHale. Is there a Mel Van Gundy? Is there a Todd Van Gundy? Is there a Van Gundy out there?
Is there any? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. This team really needs a coach. But, again, it's 2-1. Clippers were down 2-1. Anything can happen. I'm not saying the Clippers are going to lose a series because I feel they
looked
at them.
Such a different squad we're going against.
It is, but again,
it's Harden
Clippers
and his team
were in the same situation.
And they got no Patrick Beverley.
Well, that's the great thing about Chris Paul coming back, is he doesn't have to run around against like a Steph Curry or a Tony Parker or Mike Conley. He's going against the ageless wonder Jason Terry, who gave Blake Griffin the jet in the back.
Tell me what you saw.
It's a jet in the back.
And he got tossed.
Yes.
Did he hit him in the back?
It was a jet elbow.
He elbowed him
yes,
in the back.
Yes, he gave him the flying jet. Got him the jet. Excuse me, Jason the Jet.
Jason the Jet, Terry, who got a Larry O'Brien championship trophy the summer before he won it with the Dallas Mavericks. I guarantee you that guy's only got one trophy tattoo.
I mean, they're going to have a meltdown. And
they
I
just
think,
did.
Well, no. In game four, they will. Now, the question is, will we take the bait? And if the Clippers don't take the bait, I really feel they're going to squash them. Now, if they do take the bait,
this
I
is going to get chippy this series.
Well, yeah, you saw what Howard did the baby. He literally you know, stiff arm baby.
Yep.
The foul on Blake that Brewer gave, that was a foul. I mean, they got him back on the other side and makeup call. But yeah, but that's what they're going to do because they're not a smart team.
They're a bunch of dummies.
They're relying on just shooting three pointers. And playing ISO hero ball.
Now, here's why we have to win in five, Jag, okay? Because in between the Warriors-Memphis game two and game three, in between those games, the Clippers played twice.
Which is good.
Yeah, but it's crazy too, dude, because Golden State Warriors get 3 days rest, and in those 3 days, we play two games. Why does the NBA schedule
but it's also,
hate us?
It's also
our team needs rest for Chris
Paul's
leg.
You know what? It's also great for Memphis because Conley gets to rest up, and that's more important for being a Clippers fan.
But what I'm saying is I hope that Memphis and Golden State is a real slobber knocker series that goes to six or seven.
It will be.
And we can get out of here in five so that we can get rest.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
The only time
I'm going to tell you something.
One day rest is between game six and seven, and there won't be a game
Clippers
seven.
Clippers in six.
That's what Arash Markazi told me.
And that's what I told Arash, too. Arash steals my thoughts. We said Spurs in seven? Huh?
No, you said Clippers in seven versus Spurs.
Yeah.
But,
you know what I mean. Everyone
after game one, Spurs. After game one, I looked at Arash, and we won in the Spurs series. Okay?
Yeah.
We were up 1-0, and I asked Arash, I go, who's going to win this series? And Arash said, if Clippers win game two, Clippers in six. If Clippers lose game two, Clippers in seven. So you and Arash both said Clippers in seven.
I said seven and from the get-go, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Before game one. Yeah. Absolutely, you did from the jump.
And I thought game
but
six
then
was
Hamilton
this.
Did that old black magic that we so well. And then you said the Clippers are going to lose.
Yeah.
It's on the tape, Jack.
Yeah, no. And listen.
And Hamilton wanted to come back on the show tonight. I was like, there's no way.
He's coming
no
back.
Way.
He's coming back.
He'll come back, but not this show.
But
too
you know,
soon.
He'll be back. There's always time for Nick Hamilton.
You know, I'm drumming up something right now.
One of the greatest icons, right?
Nick Hamilton?
No.
It's one of the greatest icons.
I grew up in Philadelphia, as you know, and
right.
I used to read the newspaper.
Oh,
when
my
it was
gosh.
Actually
Here
a newspaper.
We go. Here we go. Set this up, Jag. We've got such a treat for you guys, and we haven't even talked about Game 7. We've just touched on it. But we haven't podcasted in a few days. It's been an epic few days for the Clippers. We got past the Spurs.
And we all talk about what do the great journalists sports minds think of Blake Griffin. What
the
do they think of this game?
The media hates the Clippers. The media hates Blake Griffin, even though he's playing the best of any player in the playoffs. People are starting to actually admit that now because he's got three triple-doubles and the rest of the league has zero in the postseason. Did you see that stat tonight? So, look, guys, we promised you a big Clipcast.
First take this.
So, we sent the one and only Jagpro Jagfree or Oprah Jagfree or whatever your name is, one on one with Stephen A.
Mike A. Jaguar.
Michael A. Jaguar one on one with Stephen A. Smith. Here take a listen.
So what's your analysis on Blake Griffin right now?
He's been sensational. He's averaging 13, 32, 14, and 8, you know, in this series. You know, like 25 or 13 for the playoffs. He's incredibly formidable. He's very aggressive. He's looking to take control. When he receives some criticism early in the first round from the disappearing in the fourth quarter, he comes right back in the pivotal game four, game six. I'm trying to remember, he scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. He's a guy that's ultra talented, that's knocking at the door of superstardom. We all know it. We all see the potential. We were just waiting for it to reach fruition. And it appears as if he's well on his way to doing just that. He's been absolutely fabulous.
Do you think they're perceived as the most hated team in the NBA?
I've never had that perception.
You haven't?
Not at all.
It seems like it.
Not at all. I mean, when they go against the Warriors, you would look at it that way because they clearly dislike each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see the Clippers as being perceived that way when they play other teams.
I think
that when you look at other teams, I think they're respected. They're incredibly athletic. Chris Paul's a pit bull. He goes after it. But I wouldn't say that they're hated by any stretch of the imagination because I never get that impression. You respect them. You know what they bring to the table. You know they can be feisty. But it's when they go against the Warriors that it has the potential to get a bit uglier.
That could be an old school series, right?
No question about it. Well, at least on the part of the Clippers, because when you're going up against guys like the Splash Brothers, you need to go old school. Because if you try to out finesse them, it won't work. You got to be up in them. You got to get physical. You got to make life uncomfortable. You can't have the baby face assassin that Steph Curry sitting out there shooting threes and jigging and all. Oh no, no, no! You got to put a hat on him. You got to make sure you do something. If he doesn't feel you, he's going to be comfortable. And if he gets comfortable, he starts making even more shots. And you can't have that because there's no way you can overcome that. So anytime you're a guy that kills people from the perimeter, unless you're Kevin Durant, because he's the one exception because he's 6'11", with the exception of him, usually when you have a guy that's miniature in stature to some degree and they're killing you from the perimeter, usually it gets physical come playoff time. Because that's usually the way to neutralize them.
And Doc knows that.
Well, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what Tony Allen and Mike Conley did the other night.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think they would do? They weren't sitting there. They were all up in them.
Yep.
It made life very, very uncomfortable for them. That's what Memphis does well. You know, and so they're going to do it against the Clippers. They're doing it against Golden State now. It's who they are. And usually when you want to beat a team like the Warriors, that's how you got to pull it off.
Wow. Great stuff.
I mean, because that's the thing. A lot of Clipper fans believe that the Clippers are the most hated team
in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Stephen A. is saying they're not the most hated team, but they will be in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes. Yes.
Who is the most hated team? Washington? Atlanta? Like, who? If the Clippers aren't, who is?
It has to be the Clippers, though. I mean, everything that we've seen in our, you know, sample size of the Clippers or buffet or super packs or what have you, it's the Clippers.
No, the media, the
refs,
the officials, they hate the Clips.
The concession stand people.
But you need a villain, man. LeBron to be a villain that first year in Miami.
And
you
need
him to be a hero
And not saying they're going to do it, because a lot of things have to happen. But with the way that Cleveland and Chicago are playing.
Hey, did LeBron wear the headband tonight?
You know, Derrick Rose hit a nice three-pointer to win the game.
But I'm wondering, did LeBron wear the headband? That's the dumbest plot line in the playoffs. The will he, won't he headband LeBron. Who cares? It's a freaking headband.
It doesn't matter.
On a balding guy. Yeah. Who cares? You can wear a head wrap.
Danny
you can wear
Glover.
A turban, for God's sake. Who cares?
He looks like Danny Glover. But
Danny Glover's going to play LeBron in the biopic in Lebrin, the motion picture.
Yes, and Mel Gibson will play David Blatt.
Who's the most hated team?
It's the Clippers.
But play devil's advocate. If Stephen A's right and the Clippers aren't the most hated team right now, who is?
I don't know.
Drop my keys.
I don't know.
Yeah, there is no right answer.
There is no right answer. But, you know, his words about Blake were right. And I think people are starting to realize that what we are witnessing is something special. Now, tonight, again, we both were...
He wasn't the sharpest tool in the tool drawer.
No.
In the shed.
He's in the shed.
Or the tool drawer.
He wasn't a true value.
He wasn't an ace. He was not those low prices tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
But still getting great numbers and getting a double-double.
It's a great sign.
And was it incredible in the first quarter and great late. I think that jet to the back actually woke him up a little and got him out of his funk.
It's finishing at times he has problems with. It's funny because we say that about Austin from time to time, and now Austin's turned into this all-out finisher.
Well, Austin had a coming-out party in San Antonio, his cotillion or whatever it's called, and tonight was his homecoming.
Yeah.
For Staples Center. And I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen the whole crowd chant Blake Griffin or Chris Paul before. They try to get us to chant CP3, but they never chanted it like they chanted Austin Rivers tonight. Austin Rivers. Hey, our bench. Listen, not Jamal Crawford from the bench. Not Big Baby from the bench. Austin Rivers.
The crowd in this town are coming alive. I mean, yeah, they are. Again, like, the Clippers have never had this opportunity as a team to have the town on its own. There are no Lakers.
No
there are
Kings.
No Kings. Anaheim.
Snoop Dogg is at the game wearing head-to-toe purple.
Yeah. Anaheim
in
is...
In
you know, Anaheim has the Ducks, but...
But nobody likes the Ducks, and nobody likes the Angels. Nobody likes Anaheim. Nobody likes Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like, we're Hollywood. We go to Universal Studios and go have a duff at Moe's.
Remember a couple years ago when we talked with Mark Heisler, he said...
Clipcast 101, Clippers 101, whatever. Mark Heisler
basically said the Clippers' time will come when the Lakers are out of the playoffs. And this could be the time. Listen, this will never be a Clipper town, but it can be...
A Clipper City.
Yep. Exact. Clip City.
Sure.
Lob City. Now, Lob City's gone. It's Clip City.
Well, you know, getting into the Western Conference Finals, getting into round three is something the Clippers have never done ever. Not in Buffalo when they were the Braves, not in San Diego when they were the San Diego Clippers, not in Los Angeles when they were the Los Angeles Clippers. Getting in the Western Conference Finals, getting in basically the Final Four of the NBA with the greatest athletes in the world versus the greatest teams in the world. That's going to be a huge 180 for this city.
The Clippers,
and a huge 180 for this organization.
The Clippers have never been up 2-1 in a series in their franchise history, have they? They haven't.
We've been up 2-0. Yeah, we were up 2-0.
No, it's 2-1 in the second round.
Oh, absolutely.
No, never.
Never.
And that's
what they are right now. You're absolutely right. I thought you meant any series.
In 2006, in the second round, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
Against the Spurs.
The Spurs.
And then last year against OKC. No,
OKC.
This is the first time. First time, the Clippers have been 2-1.
Talk to me now. Let's go back. Let's go back in our Wayback Machine to last week, Game 7. I mean, that was beautiful, man. That was the most epic Game 7. People were saying that was the most epic Game 7 ever played at Staples Center.
Oh, it was.
Including hockey and Lakers.
That and probably...
L-word and K-word.
Well, that and the L-word 2000 game against the Trailblazers, which I think this was a better game than that. That just had drama because they were down 15 points with
so many
10 minutes left.
Changes. Yep. Everybody was firing on all pistons.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like somebody's to lose. It was somebody's to win. It was a beautiful
game. Well, it was like the entire series.
And the drama.
It was a chess match. Back
the drama.
And forth. Yep. The greatest point guard of the generation.
My wife and I were crying, jumping up and down, hugging, not each other, others around us. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Clipper Darryl took a picture with Snoop Dogg. I'm going to have to retweet it later.
Oh, boy.
So, Game 7, the W, were you in the seats? Were you in the press box?
Seats.
Where were you?
Seats. We were both
200s?
Seats. Yes.
I was in the 100s. You were in the 200s. That crowd was electric. It was the best crowd I've ever seen.
It was unbelievable. Greatest crowd in Clipper history.
Did you think that shot was going in when Chris Paul put up that off the hip?
That game just had a feel. It had a feel of something special.
Right?
Like, there's times we watch, because we go to basically every Clipper game. Not to sound like assholes.
No, every home game.
Yeah, we
sure.
do. But and we know how certain things go at times.
Yeah.
But it had that feeling that you were going to see something. The only time I saw something live that will rival that was Game 4 of the ALCS in 2004 when the Red Sox were one out away from getting eliminated 3-0, and then they came back and Big Poppy hit a home run in the extra innings.
Yeah.
That was, but this wire to wire was amazing.
Incredible.
Did you read Bill Simmons' article about it?
The late, great Bill Simmons.
No, trust me. He's going to be running a freaking network probably as we speak. He probably has his entire...
You think he's going to get his own channel like Oprah?
He should.
I'd watch.
Listen, that's the one thing I was talking to Rosh about. It's like, you have ESPN, you have Comcast, you have freaking Fox. If he can hook into something that has legs... There's no reason why he can't. He knows how to do all the sports documentaries. He knows how to get people to have opinions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guys.
I mean, we'll go work for him.
Anybody. We'll work for Nick anybody. Tune in Showtime Sunday night, 9:30. Happy-ish. He's going to be on. Not this week, but next week. Happy-ish on Showtime. Episode 4, I don't know the name of the title, but anyway, not this weekend, next weekend. Hopefully the Clippers will be off preparing for the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, we'll have
game. Game 7 we'll get was one. A thing of beauty. It was the most dramatic Clippers W in franchise history. It was the most important Clippers W in franchise history, but what's cool about it is it was the most important franchise W to date because we're going to maybe get a more important W coming up versus the Warriors, versus the Grizzlies. We could have home court advantage in the finals. Is that too far off in my crystal ball
yeah.
to look about?
It's going to be. It's
we get
be,
home court advantage versus everybody but Atlanta
in the finals, Jack. Listen, it's going to be.
We get home court advantage versus Memphis in the Western Conference Finals.
It's going to be what the world wants.
The only way we don't get home court advantage is versus the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals
or
versus
Hawks.
The Hawks in the finals. Okay, every other scenario, we got home court.
Yeah.
And we don't have home court right now. Although we do. We won it back.
Yeah.
This team is something special. They're on a special journey. Matt Barnes is saying special things to James Harden's mom. Matt Barnes jumped into the crowd tonight. We are looking at something special. We're going to get that Larry, Jack. We're getting that Larry.
Well, I'm hoping. But again, we got to take it a series at a time.
We're up 2-1, and we're in a good slot.
Game 4. Now, can the Clippers
always perform very well on
Mother's Day? Can the Clippers go 3-1? Have they been up 3-1? They were 3-1 against the Nuggets, right, in 2006?
That makes sense.
But
we won that in 5. I don't remember.
But this is the first time they've ever been up 2-1 in the second round. So, I mean, why can't they make it 3-1 for the first time?
I don't even remember. Did we win that Denver series in 6? We won it at home in round 1. I remember that in 2006. I'm getting old, Jag. We're watching something special. Beating the Spurs like we did in that game 7.
Other people stepping up. A bench that everyone counted out.
And everybody picked Spurs. Everyone.
And a lot of people picked Rockets.
Idiots.
Yeah.
But these guys are dummies. We played Brainiacs and Smarties, and now we're playing
dummies.
Well,
again, people...
But dummies can all of a sudden have, like, a
fluke. When I talked to Stephen A. Smith, again, I asked him about, like, why do people bring up Blake Griffin for LaMarcus Aldridge or for...
Insane. Insanity.
People that cover basketball. Do you watch basketball?
They just make stuff up. They're just making stuff up.
I guess.
Unlike Clipcast, at LA Clipcast on Twitter, where we scooped everybody and said Chris Paul's playing tonight. We were the first people to tweet that. Matt Barnes said, Chris told me I'm playing. I tweeted it as he was saying it. All the other reporters waited for him to be done talking.
Waited.
And then got their sound bites and tweeted it out 10, 15 minutes after I did. NBA Radio on Sirius XM gave us the props today, Jack. As told by LA Clipcast, at Clipcast, Matt Barnes says Chris Paul's playing, and guess what? He played, and guess what? We won.
And
we got to win on Sunday.
Sunday's huge.
I don't know. Do you think it'll be a blowout, or it'll be a
this is a grinder. It's a grinder. It's going to be a grinder. They're going to get some help from
you
refs.
You say grinder, I say blowout. Let's find out.
I'm saying good guys, 111-109.
I'm 111. It'll be the lowest. 111-109 will be the lowest scoring game of the series.
210-207.
That's more like it. Sound the horn.
It just seems like I learn something new every week, you know, from one of these guys. You know, Chris, JJ, Jamal, Blake, DJ. You know, these guys have been here so many times. So just to play with them, you suddenly start to, you know, put yourself in their shoes and just start to feel comfortable. And then you start to play like, you know, you've been your whole life. And I feel like that's what I'm doing now. And I'm just having fun. So, you know, I feel like the bottle's just been open.
All right. That's why I'm here. That's why they're here. And there's only one place you can go to in this league. And that's trying to get Larry. 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 Larry.
Flippin' Ace, Flippin' Ace, set it brown. We taking over, didn't say it loud. This time is now, to be legendary. And we gon' give it all till we get the Larry. We want that Larry, we want that Larry. And we gon' do whatever is necessary to get that Larry and have that parade and bring the championship right back to LA. We can let all these losers hate to win us. Got them afraid to enter the Staples Center. Eliminating all these fake contenders. Portland and Brooklyn, put them on a plate for dinner. Got the best coach and the best PG. Dare anybody out there to test CP? 3 from the top of the key, drop it to BG. He gon' back it down and make it look easy. You bash on him, alive at the DJ to smash on him. A park and penetrate and take it off the glass on him. It ain't just them, it's the whole team though. Reddit dropping threes, making all the screen. Check the bingo, we came here to dominate. Never stress, we just let Doc operate. Started small, but it's far more big, and I'm introducing y'all to the hardcore clip. It's Clippin' Ace, said it brown. We taking over, and say it loud. This time is now, the beat legendary. And we gon' give it all till we get the lyric. We want that lyric, we want that lyric. And we gon' do whatever is necessary to get that lyric and have that parade and bring the championship right back to LA. They might be hard, but we go harder. Our bench is probably better than your starters. Jamal Crawford putting a D on roller skates. Got him scared from Cleveland to Golden State. DeAndre making sure he control the paint. Matt Barnes bringing the pressure, so don't make no mistakes. They try to knock us down, but we're still the strongest. That's why Steve Ballmer put his billions on us. Name another city with some better fans. You can hear Clipper Darrell clear screaming from the stands. Making moves for now in the future too. Let that other team talk about things they used to do. Shout out to Clipper Spirit and the DJ Dents. Let Adam Silver know it's about to get intense. Making sure the top is where we do stay. So Clipper Nation rise up, it's a new day. It's Clipper Nation, standing proud. We taking over, sing, say it loud. This time is now, to be legendary. And we gon' give it all till we get that lyric. We want that lyric, we want that lyric. And we gon' do whatever is necessary to get that lyric and have that parade and bring the championship right back to LA. Stand up, stand up. If you were part of Clipper Nation, get your hands up. Stand up, stand up. If you reppin' Clipper Nation, get your hands up. Stand up, stand up. If you were part of Clipper Nation, get your hands up. Stand up, stand up. If you reppin' Clipper Nation, get your hands up. We got T-Gram, D-Night on the track.
Clipper fans here!
Hey, Clipper Nation.